What is truth? Asked Pilate. You know, I've wondered this year, I kind of like each Easter to look at different characters in the Bible that are surround that those particular few days, and I wondered what it would be like to be Pilate, examining and judging the king of the Jews. Really unknown to Pilate, the king of the universe. We have several accounts that take place and tell us what happened with Pilate's judgment hall when Jesus was brought in. Jesus is standing before the governor as a prisoner. He's being arraigned before Pilate. And Pilate wants to get it done before Passover begins. And Jesus stands unmoved by the rage because he knows the truth. He is the truth. His indictment, Pilate asks, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He was obviously the king of the Jews because the Jews were into their lineage and especially of their king, and several times in the past during his ministry they asked him, "Are you the Christ? Are you the Son of God?" So Pilate asks, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answers, "It is as you say." But the angry priests pretended to be concerned with Rome and accused Jesus of being an enemy of Caesar, which they could produce no good proof. As Jesus listens to Caiaphas and the other priests making their attempts at charges against him, he remains silent. In Matthew 27:62, it says this, "And the high priest arose and said to him, 'Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?' But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said unto him, 'I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God.'" So Jesus seals his fate, because he must be crucified to fulfill the prophecies. Jesus answered and says to him, "It is as you say. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming in on the clouds of heaven." And the high priest tore his clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look, now you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think?" And they answered and said, "He is deserving of death." They mistakenly thought that whoever was the Christ must be the king of the Jews and deliver them from the Roman occupation and restore them to the kingdom that David built. And they would trample Rome in the slavery. They assuring the governor, if he made himself Christ and king, he would subvert the nation and subvert Caesar's government. When Pilate asks, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He's asking Jesus, "Do you lay claim to this present government or pretend the right to rule the Jews instead of me or Herod?" And Jesus answers, "It is as you say, but inferred, not as you mean, Pilate. I am a king, but not a king of this world, as you suspect me to be." So before Pilate, Jesus spoke a good answer. Jesus spoke the truth. He was not ashamed to claim himself to be the king or the Christ, though it looked ridiculous at that point with no army, no means of defense, yet not afraid. not afraid of the danger at that point. Pilate finds no fault in him. Whatever was said, nothing was proven, and therefore lacked evidence of the matter. It was made up in noise and violence and repeated threats and accusations, but Jesus kept silent, not responding to their accusations. Now, I'm thinking that he was occupied with their accusations. He was not taken up with their concerns that lay laid at his feet. He was more concerned with what was between him and the Father, to whom he was going to offer himself up as a sacrifice, an answer to the sin issue, and facing the rejection of his Father. So he couldn't hear the accusations. They didn't matter. His hour was come, and he was submitting himself to his Father's will. Not my will, but your will, Father. And he knew what his Father's desire was. And therefore, silently committed himself to the one that judges righteously. What would you and I have done if we were Pilate? I think we probably would have let him go if we could. I don't think we would have found anything in him. So his Father intervenes. He sends a dream to Pilate's wife. And she's heard a little bit about Christ, or maybe almost as much as nothing about Christ, but has a dream. And it was immediate from God. Perhaps she was a devout, godly woman. The scripture doesn't tell us. Maybe just scared after a horrible dream. Yet God reveals himself in his message by dream to her. And in Matthew 27:19 it says, "And while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, 'Have nothing to do with this just or righteous man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him.'" And whether she dreamed about a cruel handling of Christ or of the judgments that were about to fall on them, whether they were to have a hand in death, she felt a sense of powerful urgency. Have nothing to do with this righteous man. What a testimony from God when you think about it. In front of all the people, Pilate reads her note. And the man that gives him the note reads it out, and they listen to it, and they hear that he's righteous in spite of the Jews' zealous accusations. And this year I had to marvel at God's wisdom. I want you to think about this for a minute. When Peter denied Christ, Judas confessed him. Do you realize that? He went to the temple and tried to give back the money and told him he was a righteous man. When the chief priests accused him, Pilate said he was innocent, that there was no fault in him. And when Pilate was listening to their defense, his own wife proclaims Christ's righteousness. Now that's God. And before them all, Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ?" They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." Pilate really got underneath their skin, calling him the Christ. They were infuriated with him. And he declares Jesus innocent and declares him the Christ, the Messiah that they were rejecting. And Pilate's caught in the middle. He declares Jesus innocent, but realizes he may lose control of the city. So Pilate endeavors to clear himself from the guilt. And we get to verse 24. It says, "And when Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult or an uproar was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, 'I am innocent of the blood of this just or righteous person. You see to it.'" And all the people answered and said, His blood be on us and on our children. How righteous God is. They said, His blood be on us and our children. And God said, Amen. So be it. So Christ is crucified. He dies on a cross. He's buried for 3 days. He rises again. And if you'll start passing out the communion, Pilate ends just as we heard a few minutes ago. What is truth? The risen Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He who rolled away the stone has rolled away our sins. He who rolled away the stone came to life after being dead for 3 days. And the question I have for you tonight is, can he roll away the stone for you? What is it that he can't do after he conquered death? Have you done too much that he can't roll away the stone for you? Is what you're experiencing or what in your life, is it too big for you that he can't roll away the stone? I don't think so. Let's worship together, and then we're going to participate in the Lord's Supper. In celebration of what Christ did for us, that he was willing to go to the cross and to take our sin, we just want to celebrate by two things in the Lord's Supper. One is that the bread represents his body, which is broken for us. And he said, take, eat in remembrance of me. And let's remember Christ. And he took the cup and said, this cup represents my blood, which was shed for you. Do drink this in remembrance of me, and let's drink it.